Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. This is where you say a thing.
The Cody podcast, where we take apart mobile phones and see how long it takes a tortoise to figure out how to put it back together.
Were you looking at your phone for something to say?
Yeah, that's why I do it all the time. That movie, there's a bit where he's being like questioned, and he makes up his entire story for the movie, for like the film, based on what he sees around the cop's office. Oh god! Like sometimes if I'm searching for like a stupid name for something, I'll look and I'll be like, okay, there's a remote control there. There's some unlicensed medication. There's a plushie. Okay, what can I make from this?
I'm waiting.
I don't know, Prozacicus remotifer. There we go.
But then where did heliothorpe buffins come from?
I don't know.
Is that just like, a moment of pure clarity?
Yeah. I mean, it's like I could think of something off the top of my head anyway, because I'm that guy. But I mean, just when I just haven't got the energy, I just look around.
Wow. Well, today we're finishing off book 6.
Yeah, we've got our hands down. It's trousers. We're jerking furiously. We're recording on our phones.
We're promising it. We're not going to upload it to Pornhub.
Not without subtitles. Just be lots of like N-N-N-N-N-G-R-H-H-H-H-H. That's my approximation of a like orgasm sound, I guess. I think that's exactly what book 6 would sound like. Oh my god.
Oh man. Well, we're about to, I mean, I sort of feel like the climax was last episode. This is sort of the you know, the getting up and going to the bathroom and wiping down and trying not to spill any of it.
Yeah, this is the crying, the saying that it usually doesn't happen like that.
Yeah. Yeah, the choosing which flannel to spoil.
Using your underpants and realise that you haven't got another fresh pair to put back on. You're like, ah. Guess I'm freeballing today.
Freeballing, oh, I like that.
Yeah, I so I never listen to these chapters ever when I listen back to it, like, over the years, because, like I've said before, I find it really irritating having to go through them knowing that Snape isn't bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't find that so much in the immediate aftermath of Dumbledore's death, like Harry chasing him and all that. I thought that was quite exciting and cool. It's mostly when they're all sat around in the hospital wing afterwards, all talking about how they can't believe Snape and all of this. That was when I was a bit like, ugh.
And I feel like someone should have really, I feel like there should have been a part of Harry that didn't believe that it was as it seemed. Just a part of him that, although he saw it, was like, but deep down, Harry, you know, just something didn't quite add up.
Mm.
And Harry wasn't sure what it was. But he feels like there was more to what happened on the tower that night. You know, because I feel like it, even watching the scene unfold, it seemed, and knowing what Harry has overheard Snape and Dumbledore talk about earlier on in the book, when he didn't know what they were talking about, but when Snape was like, oh, you're asking too much of me, and Dumbledore was like, oh, you promised, blah, blah, blah. I would be piecing that together and thinking, nah, something isn't quite right.
Huh.
So yeah, I just feel like there was too many clues along the way to signify that Snape probably didn't do that for the reasons we think.
Fair enough, but also Harry has been wanting Snape and trying to, and like he is being convinced that Snape is a bad guy from the beginning. He is ready to believe that Snape is a bad guy.
Mm.
And seeing him kill Dumbledore is like, how's he going to think his way out of that when he's been trying for like 6 years to convince everyone that Snape's a Death Eater?
Yeah. I just feel like in the hospital wing, I think there should have just been a slight spark of thought.
From someone, like, at least, yeah. Maybe there was. I mean, Harry is not particularly attentive or like present in that moment, in that conversation. Like, there's no, even if it was like a subtle doubt or inkling from someone, I don't think from Harry's perspective that would necessarily have been realistic for him to sort of pick up on.
I guess so, yeah. I would have liked to have thought that maybe during like the camping bits in book 7 that maybe he sort of like wondered if, you know, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just would have made sense to me that Harry would have like, it would just because there were so many like, you know, Dumbledore's like hands being weird and.
Yeah. I think if it was Hermione, yes, but Harry thinks with his emotions. He doesn't like.
That's
true. He doesn't logic things through in that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think that what my overarching thought about this and the next book as well is that I think that Dumbledore should have not the details, but just confided in Minerva that.
Yeah.
Something just so even she didn't even have to say anything in the hospital wing or anything like that. But even just if when she was speaking to Harry in her office, she just said, Potter, like, I can't really say much. But I just need you to know that nothing is quite as it seems, and hopefully you'll know the truth about some things coming
but
up.
But the trouble is, though, with that, if Voldemort gets his hands on anyone, he's going to be able to extract the truth out of them.
That's what I mean. Like, if I feel like by the time that happened, I mean, that is true, but also it's like, I feel like Dumbledore could have told her in a way, you know, just Dumbledore should have had a failsafe for all of this, because if Snape hadn't, I mean, we're getting on to the next book now, but if everything hadn't played out exactly as it did, then all of it could have been for literally nothing, you know? Anyway. Let's jump into these chapters, feet first and with our eyes wide open.
Yes. Chapter 28, The Flight of the Prince.
Yeah.
So the Death Eaters leave the tower.
Yes, they do. One by one.
Hurrah, hurrah.
They get on the escalator that goes back down, but it's one of those like airport escalators with like the like elevator music. They're just like standing in line like and Harry runs and then gets on a step and then waits.
Yeah. Just looking down at them at the bottom end of the escalator.
And Harry realizes he's standing on the wrong side, so he scoots over to his right. But yes, Snape grabs Draco and is like, everyone leave, and they run, and Harry takes off after them.
Yes, and Harry Petrificus Totalis is a Death Eater on his way out for some reason.
I mean, why not?
I mean, why not, I guess, but I guess he doesn't really give a shit about it. I guess he kind of wants to be like, fight me, you pricks.
Yeah. Because he just wants to get to Dumbledore at this point to see if he's really dead.
Harry dashes out of the room and there's a big fight. Lots of Death Eaters, lots of Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah. Order of the Phoenix. They're fighting in the castle. And Snape's running away. He's such a little rascal.
Oh, a little callback to the last book there.
Oh god, and out of fucking nowhere Greyback pounces on Harry.
Have you accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into your heart? And Harry's like, oh, you know, I'm so busy, I can't.
I already donate.
The door. Okay, well, take this leaflet.
So you can't come in, it's a pandemic. But Harry sticks his wand in between his ribs and goes, Avada Kedavra! And then Greyback explodes into a million pieces. and Harry gets the taste of blood and murder. No, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and Harry becomes the new Fenrir Greyback.
Yeah. No, he jinxes him and then he falls down. Then Harry's like looking around and he sees that Ginny is dueling with Amicus. And Harry goes, pew, pew, pew.
And then he's like, oh, wait, shit, I need to actually cast a spell.
Damn, my ray gun isn't working.
Yeah. Why did I think this water pistol would work?
No, like Lupin, McGonagall, Ron, Tonks, and Hermione are all there too.
Yeah. And Harry only has eyes for Snalfoy.
Or Mape.
Mape.
Or Drape.
Drake.
Harry's like, get back here, get back here. Snape's like,
it's okay, I'll call you on your cell phone.
Do you even listen to Drake, Harry?
Oh, Harry. We start at the bottom.
Yes, he's chasing him through the castle.
Yeah, he thinks missed specifically what happens with the Room of Requirement, but he's like, he leads him to think that the Room of Requirement's like out of order, so he runs to the main entrance.
Yeah, I can't remember what the deets were as well, but like, because like everyone's hearing the commotion, like a load of students are up, and Harry bumps into Ernie McMillan.
Yeah, and he's like,
jumping jellyfish.
And Cormac McLaggen's there, and he's like, you were saying Malfoy's a Death Eater all year, Harry, and now look how it's turned out.
So all the hourglasses in the entryway are smashed. Is it all of them or just the Gryffindor one?
I think it only mentions the Gryffindor one.
Right, okay.
But Harry doesn't give a shit, and he keeps on chasing after Draco and Snape out into the out through the main entrance and into the sort of yard. I was going to say yard, but that's not what it's called.
No,
what is it called? The grounds?
Front.
Outside.
Out into the farm. There we go.
Yes, it sees Hagrid.
Hagrid, getting smooshy with a Death Eater.
Yeah.
Yes, Hagrid's...
As in, he's sitting on him and smooshing him.
Yeah. Hagrid's put him face down into the dirt and then sat on his head, returning the Death Eater to the earth. In a poetic but murderous way, yeah. I guess.
Anyone else want to get smooshed?
Oh, God. And then Harry tries to jinx Snape, but he misses, and Snape turns around and he's like, Kazam! And he knocks him down.
Yeah. And then in the distance, Harry can see Hagrid's house gets set on fire.
Yeah, and Hagrid's like, no, me foot in garlic bread.
Garlic bread? You can't flambé a dragon steak.
It's not insured. What are they going to do now? I've got so many mouths to feed. They're like, what? You ain't got any kids. So I didn't say kids.
Just mouths. I've got lots of mouths in there.
I've got my mouth. I've got me back mouth. I've got me front mouth. I've got Grop's mouth. I guess I'll just have to find other ways to give him his protein. Oh, Hagrid, you're so crazy.
And then I've just got this big jar of mouths. Don't know where the food goes, Harry.
See, when you're playing sports in the half-giant world, every time you win a game, every time you win a game of chess, you cut your opponent's lips off and put them in a jar. As you can see, I'm a third in the world. Chess champion. Got lips from all over. Tastes just like jelly deals.
Harry's like, okay, Hagrid. So anyway, Snape.
Yeah. I tell you what, Hagrid, there's a very precious pair of lips. You find them over at the base of the astronomy tower. Why don't you kind of have a look? He's like, oh, we'll go and have a look.
You'll find it's a pair of lips you've always dreamed of.
Yeah, they're wrinkly, but...
They're great lips.
Yeah. But not say it's Hagrid, but they've got a bit of a wink to them, you know? A winky pair of lips. Not Winky's lips. I mean, we took those ages ago. But... Anyway, I got to chase the Death Eater, and then he turns around and flaps his wings, trying to chase after Snape.
Snape keeps deflecting Harry's spells.
Yeah. He's like, pew, 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 pew.
There you pew, go. Pew. There's the sound effects.
As you can see, the budget has gone way up for the end of book 6.
Oh, yeah. You should wait to hear what we've got in store for book 7.
Yeah, Harry's trying to use Crucio and Snape's like blocked again. And I'm like, I found this bit a bit weird that Snape would feel the need to like vocalize everything.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, the only weird bit is that he says blocked again.
Yeah, blocked again. Yet somehow I'm still receiving your messages. My phone is obviously broken. Harry's like, what's your obsession with cell phones?
Oh, Harry, you're so cheeky.
I've had a good error. When Harry's like, ah, that doesn't work on me. And Snape's like, oh, bother.
Oh, yes, I remember now.
Ah, it's because you still have your mother's eyes.
Stand still, Harry. Gets a spoon out.
Yeah.
See, in my world, every time you win a game of chess, you take your opponent's eyes, Harry. So, if your mother had just made a different move.
Anyway, yeah, one of the other Death Eaters, like, Crucio's Harry, and he falls to the ground, and Snape commands him to stop. He's like, no, the Dark Lord wants us to leave the boy to him.
Yes, the Dark Lord.
Yeah, the Dark Lord wants us to leave the boy to him. The Dark Lord. Can you do an Irish accent in this thing?
Well, I can't do that thing.
Get a life.
Yeah, and then Harry tries to use Sectum Sempra and Lever Corpus, and Snape's all like, oh, I see.
Yeah, he stuns him or something to like make him go like rigid, and then he's like, you dare use my own spells against me? I am the Half-Blood Prince.
Prince.
Yeah. And then Harry's like, you're a fucking coward. And Snape's like, don't call me a coward. And
slaps him in the face.
Yes, for I am the king of the forest.
That's from Wizard of Oz, by the way. Just in case anyone was wondering. Because I had forgotten that that was a thing in Wizard of Oz when we did an episode on it for our Patreon series. Anyway.
But Harry tries to find his wand so he can try and jinx Snape again. But by the time he does, Snape is fucking...
Fucked off.
Separated. Yeah.
Oh, Buckbeak gets involved.
Oh, yeah! Sorry, yeah. While Snape's on top of Harry, Buckbeak comes and goes, pew, pew, pew. Not with a wand, just with his hoofs. And
with his hoofs?
Yeah.
Doesn't he have talons?
I can't remember.
Well, that's what he slashes Malfoy with, his talon.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. No, in the film, I think he just has hooves, I think, yeah.
Well, then the film's wrong. Literally, the chapter is called Talons and Tea Leaves.
Yeah, I know, I'm not disputing you. I remember the Azkaban book cover.
I'm right, Gifton. Fuck's sake, why are you always going to argue me down? Right, that's it, we're getting the book out.
Oh, God. So yeah, Buckbeak goes, rawr, and then Snape goes, ah!
He goes, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He roared at me. The Death Eaters get away, and then Hagrid comes and brings Harry round and stands him up.
Yeah. He's like, Harry, are you all right? Did they do anything to hurt you? And I was like, no, I'm fine. But I tell you, he's not. Oh, so they do Agrimenti on Hagrid's house, but just like streams of water shoot out of their wands. Yeah. Like, that's such an inefficient spell for that. Like
Agrimenti Maxima.
Yeah, you need like water filamenti, and just the sky opens up and like a fucking massive wave crashes upon the house. That's the kind of level of water you need.
Yes.
I feel like it must have taken ages to put out of the house with their fucking wands. It would be like us standing outside like a cottage and like, I don't know, like trying to throw like bottles of like Evian like on it when it's on
or
fire.
Or with like some sort of hose.
Yeah.
Who would do that?
No, but it'd be like using like a garden hose to try and put out like a house
yeah,
fire.
That's how I imagine Agrimenti, yeah, like a garden hose rather than like a fire hose.
Anyway, Hagrid's like, oh, that'll do. Nothing that Dumbledore can't fix. And then Harry's heart
Harry's
sinks.
Like, ooh.
Yeah. And Hagrid's like, and Harry's like, and Hagrid's like, oh.
Harry's like, mate, Dumbledore's dead. Snape killed him. Snape killed Dumbledore. And Hagrid's like, yeah. Oh, don't be. Who'd you say that for, Harry?
Yeah, wait, what are you fucking lying for, you little bastard?
Dumbledore's a great man.
He wouldn't hurt no fly or nobody, wouldn't know, dude. And Harry's like, look, mate, this isn't the time for you to have like a mental collapse.
I need to come and I need to show you Dumbledore's body.
Oh, God. So Hagrid gets his shovel and follows Harry. And they get back to the castle and everyone's kind of outside staring at Dumbledore's body.
Yes. And Harry and Hagrid move up to the front of the crowd.
Yeah.
Kneel down. Harry feels that his locket has fallen from his pocket.
Yes, Harry reaches down and pulls up the locket. And turns out it's just some anal beads, and he keeps on pulling, and
Harry goes, oh, classic Dumbledore. Even in death.
Even in death, he manages to void all over the floor. But that's okay, it's magic poo.
Quick, let's smear it all over him, maybe he'll come back to life.
It's okay, it's not racist.
Yeah, let's get... Dean, come tell them.
And Dean reads out, he's like, a pre-prepared statement that's been given to him. Yeah.
By Kingsley.
Yeah. And after he's finished, Harry's like, oh, mate, we're only joking, man. No, you don't mean no harm, do you?
Yeah, just a joke.
No, come on, you don't need to take the Harry Potter films off Netflix for that. I'm sorry. Oh, God. But yeah, like, he picks up the locket and he's like, this is a lot smaller than one in the memory. It doesn't have the S on the front.
Yeah, it's like a little toy version.
Yeah.
And he pops it open and there's a little note in the back.
Yes. It says, you are gay.
Harry's like, ah. They got me good. Whoever RAB is, I'll give that one to them. That's classy.
Yeah, it says like, oh, no, that's it. Yeah, my quoted bit. So I sent Tom a screen capture of my notes yesterday because my note just said Tom can read out what is written down.
Yeah, and I had, in fact, written down word for word what the note says.
Oh, God.
It says, to the Dark Lord. I know I will be dead long before you read this, but I want you to know it was I who discovered your secret. I have stolen the real Horcrux and intend to destroy it as soon as I can. I face death in the hope that when you meet your match, you will be mortal once more. R.A.B.
Hmm.
And Harry's like, give a fuck, mate.
Yeah.
Dumbledore's dead.
And you did all this for nothing.
Yep.
And Fang begins to howl.
Yeah.
He's like, arr! And then Lupin's like, arr! And Harry's like, okay.
Which brings us to chapter 29, The Phoenix Lament.
Yes.
Ginny comes and takes Harry's hand.
She chops it off. And she's like, I prefer you as stumps.
I can't quite manage a fist, Harry, but a wrist-sized stump.
If we tattoo my face onto the end, it'll look like I'm pleasuring myself. In the most weird way you can imagine. Harry's like, I hate your entire family. Oh, God. No, apparently McGonagall has ordered him to be taken to the hospital wing because everyone else is there.
Yeah.
And I don't know when we find this out, either when he's there or when he's walking up, but he gets told that Greyback attacked Bill, like, really badly, and he's not dead, but he's in really fucking bad shape. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Ginny says that, thank God, Dad, Felix Felicis, because, like, all the curses that were fired at them just happened to, like, miss them. And if they didn't have that, she reckons they would have been killed.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck me.
Which is a good point. We were talking... I mean, obviously, Harry couldn't have known that. But I guess that reason is kind of why he left it with them.
Yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense why you did. I think he did the right thing. I just think he should have took some first.
Yeah.
Yeah, alas.
Yeah, that's it. And then they're looking over Bill with his wolf wounds. And someone's like, well, it just must be something we can do. Surely Dumbledore knows something. And then Ginny just goes, Dumbledore's dead.
Yeah. And it's like, ah! And everyone's like, what? You what? You what? You fucking what?
No.
And Lupin crumbles like a sack of potatoes.
Yep.
Which is what happens when a werewolf is out of water for too long. they just turn into potatoes. He's like, oh, I forgot to spritz myself.
Just like that night at the end of book three.
Yeah. But yeah, like the scars on Bill, because they're like their cursed wounds. Like Lupin was like, they might never ever fully heal. And that he might end up being left with some wolfy characteristics.
Yes.
Like dragging his ass across the floor and chewing your shoes.
Everyone's like, oh, well, yeah. I mean, the guy could be worse.
So, yeah, like Harry tells them what happened. And he's telling them, like, the phoenix starts singing outside.
Yeah, and then they realise that they all just kind of sink into a bit of a trance. And listen to the phoenix's grief lament.
Yeah. And then McGonagall comes.
And slightly ruins the atmosphere.
Yeah. She's like, sorry, I've got this toy that's linked up to Snape's phone. And every time he sends a text, it goes... And I'm just
like... That's Severus, such a character, isn't it? Anyway, what are we talking about?
Yeah, she's like, Harry, what happened, mate? And Harry tells her, and then Madame Pomfrey conjures it up a chair. McGonagall collapses into it. But yeah, they all talk about how Snape was a cunt.
Yes, about how they're shocked and they can't believe it. And Dumbledore always said he had an ironclad reason for trusting Snape, but no one ever knew what it was. And there's a whole... This is the bit where I started to go like, ugh, yeah, all right, get on with it. Just because... Now we know what we know.
Yeah.
Listening to them all be like, oh, how could Dumbledore have trusted him? And I can't believe Snape has betrayed us. Just as a bit like, ugh, yeah, get on with it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we kind of said all we had to say, but I just feel like,
yeah,
you know, if she wanted just to believe it, I think she should have maybe taken some choice bits out earlier on in the book, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, actually. I think maybe she shouldn't have had Dumbledore tell Harry that some of the memories and stuff with Snape.
All right, well, we did this all at the beginning.
I know. Anyway,
And then Harry explains all about the Vanishing Cabinet and everything.
Yeah, and he looks at Ron and Hermione to say, "I fucking told you,
you cunts."
Yeah. If only you'd believe me, Dumbledore and my parents would still be alive right now.
Yeah. Mine is like, fucking hell, I'm sorry, mate.
Hermione, like, and Lupin sort of, like, tell what happened on their end. And it's all, it's like, I don't know, is it interesting to go into? I don't know if it is.
Not really. Hermione's like, yeah, we were distracted. Was giving Ron the old gungy finger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, basically they were all in one way or another given the slip by Death Eaters and Snape.
Yeah, and then yeah, basically, and Arthur and Molly arrive, and then Molly rushes over to Bill's bed and starts making out with his deformed face. She's like, I don't know where your mouth is. I'm just going to stick my tongue into every hole. Like, bleh, bleh, bleh,
bleh. Maybe I can get Wolfie with you.
And she raises her head. She's just got all blood around her face. And they're like, Molly. She's like, no, he needs his mummy. And fucking Fleur is there and she's just like frozen, and then Molly's like, it doesn't matter how he looks, but he was always very handsome and he was going to be married. And Fleur is like, what do you mean going to be married?
You fucking bitch.
I liked that Fleur didn't understand what she meant at first. I liked that she was
her go-to was that, what, you think he won't want to marry me anymore because he's a werewolf?
Yeah. And Molly's like, well, no. And she's like, ah, so you think I would want to marry him? I am good looking enough for the both of us, I think. Oh, this guy sure as how my husband is brave as fuck.
Yes. She
snatches the ointment off of Molly and starts dabbing Bill.
Starts downing it.
Yeah.
I am fucking insane, Molly.
Yeah, she downs it, fucking smashes the bottle against her forehead. Like, don't worry, I'll heal his face with my Vila juice. And she gets up onto the top of the bed, squats.
Get your face out of the way, Molly.
She's like, no, what if my face needs healing too?
I don't care about your face.
No one cares about your face. All he wants is your gravy. But yeah, everyone like waits for like Molly like to go off on one, and she doesn't. Instead, she offers to ask Auntie Muriel to lend Fleur a tiara for her wedding.
Yeah.
It was like, thank you. And then they both start crying and hugging and then slowly peeling off each other's clothes. And Arthur's like,
and Ron's like, yeah, all right.
So they get one of Madame Pomfrey's like hospital curtains and like pull it around the paint. And then all you can hear is, oh, yeah. Oh, Molly.
Oh, yeah, touch the scars on his face.
Oh, my God. I mean, you see, like, bright silver liquid just, like, seeping out from underneath the curtain. Anyway, so they finish up, and then
Tonks is like, see, I fucking told you.
Yeah.
To Lupin.
And he's like, it's not the same.
I don't like you.
Yes, I've been trying to tell you for fucking years. I find you repulsive. Everything about you makes me sick. Yes, even when you become Cindy Crawford. Yeah. Now Lupin is just like, he's like, oh no, I'm too poor, I'm too old, I'm too furry.
Yeah, you deserve someone, you're young and whole and proper, and the others try to convince him, and she doesn't care, she wants you as you are. And I did wonder, like, has it ever occurred to anyone that maybe Lupin just doesn't fancy her and is trying to let her down easy?
I get the feeling they've like slept together already. And so I get the feeling that there was
a thing, and then Lupin broke it off, maybe.
Yeah, before it became like, I reckon maybe it was like a few nights, and then he was like, no, we can't do this. Like, look, I'm a wolf and you're a ditto, and we just like, we can't mate because it won't produce an egg that we can leave at the daycare center. Oh, God. And fucking we hear, like, the T-Rex thud and Hagrid comes bursting through the doors.
Yeah, he tells them the things are all in order. I've moved the body. Sprout's got the kids back in bed. Flitwick says it'll be... Oh, yeah, because Flitwick got knocked out by Snape.
Yeah.
He says it'll be all right. And Slughorn says the Ministry's been informed.
Yeah. And McGee's like, oh, I guess I'll have to speak to the Ministry then. But I want to talk to you first, Harry. Come into my office. So they go, but Harry's expecting to go to McGonagall's office, but he's forgetting that she's headmistress now. So they go to Dumbledore's office.
Yeah, they go to Dumbledore's office. I wonder who became... Does she become head... I mean, I guess, like, isn't Snape head of Hogwarts in the next book?
Yeah, but that's only after the Ministry falls.
But, well, I wonder who... Because, you know, assuming everything went how it was supposed to, McGonagall would be head. I wonder who was going to be head of Gryffindor.
That's a good point.
Just we don't know enough about the rest of the teachers, really, do we?
I guess maybe she just acts as head until a new teacher's appointed.
Yeah.
Because if she's headmistress, then she won't be teaching Transfiguration anymore, will she?
No, I guess not.
So it'll probably be whoever's the Transfiguration teacher next.
Yeah. Because, yeah, Dumbledore taught Transfiguration before McGonagall, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so maybe when you move up, you just don't, you know. They should have the head of a house. I guess, no, it wouldn't work like that. I was going to say they should have a head of a house attached to specific teachers, as in, like, the lessons that they teach, so... But you couldn't always ensure that those four posts were occupied by a Gryffindor, a Ravenclaw, a Slytherin, and a Hufflepuff. But then I guess, like, do you have to have been in that house to be the head of the house when you come back to teach?
I mean, maybe not, but it seems kind of weird not to be.
I guess they put too much fucking stock. I feel like she wrote these houses thinking of one day what a fucking massive, like, commercial gem it's going to be. She's like, I can sell four times as much merchandise.
Yeah, they head up to Dumbledore's office, which is now McGee's office, and there's already a portrait of Dumbledore.
Yeah, I thought that was cool that we got sort of an explanation of how this might only be quite unique to Hogwarts headmasters, but I liked that it was just a thing that appeared out of nowhere kind of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, there's got to be other portraits of Dumbledore around in the world already.
I don't know, though. Maybe you only get them if you die.
What, no one's drawn painted a portrait of Dumbledore anywhere? I find
maybe
that hard
to
believe.
Maybe not a magic one. No, there might be, like, a portrait that doesn't move, but maybe not a magic portrait. Oh, no, mind you, though, there's the portrait of him on the Chocolate Frog card, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that walks in and out of frame.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, it's all fucking bollocks.
It is all fucking bollocks. let's not dive too deep into it. It's all bollocks. So
do you know
then...
what I did learn, actually? I'll tell you this now before I forget, that if you die in a polyjuiced form, apparently you stay in the polyjuiced form. You don't revert back. Yeah.
Well, now we know that.
Yeah. I wish we'd known it in book four, but alas.
Huh?
I said I wish we'd known it in book four, but alas. Because when his mum died in prison, she would have stayed looking like him. If she'd taken some, like, not long before she died.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
With you. Same page. McGonagall asks Harry what he and Dumbledore were doing on the night he died. But Harry says, I'm not bloody telling you, mate. Been sworn to secrecy. But by the way, Madame Rosmerta is under the Imperius curse.
Yeah. But yeah... Everyone sort of piles in.
And then, the heads of house arrive. And Slughorn announces something. And how does he say it?
I don't know. What does he say?
The heads of house walk in. Snape! Ejaculated Slughorn.
Does he? I completely missed that. And McGonagall was like, oh, I see you have one of the devices too. Slughorn's like, yes. Oh, but he keeps on leaving me voicemails. Oh, fuck. And then McGee's like, what do we do?
Do we close the school? Do we not? They have a somewhat dry discussion about what Dumbledore would have wanted, and they decide that they will have the funeral at the school as per Dumbledore's wish before they send the students home so that those who want to attend the funeral can.
Yeah, Harry goes back to the common room.
Yes, because the Minister for Magic is due to arrive, and Harry's like, oh, can I go, please? And I want to speak to that prick.
Yeah. With the really thick pretend Scottish accent. So I'm just remembering like a Bill Nye giving his speech in that film. It's so ridiculous.
I don't remember it.
It's such an intense... I mean, it might be accurate. Like, he might have got it from someone who he knows or something like that. But it's so fucking heavy-handed. Oh, God. Anyway.
Yeah, Harry goes back up to the dorms and meets Ron.
Are you right?
Yeah, just a little frog in the throat.
That's what Fleur calls it. So they talk about the Horcrux, and Harry's like, it was fake. And Ron's like, ah, fucking hell.
Bloody hell, mate.
I wonder who Rab is.
Yeah. Rabbi.
And Hermione's like, what? Yeah.
You burn that note, Harry.
But give me the locket. Oh, God, anyway.
Yeah, but Harry doesn't really give a shit about any of it.
Why would you at that point?
Yeah.
Like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, he's too distraught.
But yeah, he Fawkes his song finally ceases, and Harry thinks that Fawkes will probably never come back.
Yeah, which is nice. Yeah, he realises the Phoenix song has stopped, and Harry somehow knew that the Phoenix had gone, had left the world, just like Dumbledore had. Which I think gives an indication as to like the nature of the Phoenix's existence. Because we sort of talked about how do phoenixes like reproduce? Do they give birth? Do they lay eggs? Do they what? Like, and do they live forever?
Hmm.
But it seems to me that if this one was like tied to Dumbledore, maybe it's something that a phoenix is something that like a super powerful wizard can kind of almost conjure or like summon from like an ethereal plane as like a familiar, like how wizards have familiars and stuff.
Right. Okay.
Which is a cool idea, I think.
I think in the film it just like flies away, and I think I liked that idea more.
Oh yeah? I quite like that though. It's tied to Dumbledore.
Yeah, I think I do like that, because I would hate the idea of Fawkes like living alone for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, we're going to chapter 30, the last chapter, The White Tomb.
Yes. All lessons and all exams are postponed.
Again.
Yeah, they never do any fucking exams. They were super unlucky that the year of their OWLs was the year that the exams didn't get cancelled.
Yeah, right. Oh, God. A lot of parents have been taking their kids out of school.
Yep.
But witches and wizards are pouring into Hogsmeade to attend Dumbledore's funeral.
Yes. We've got Madame Maxime arrives in the big blue carriage. Loads of ministry officials.
Yes, Mariah Carey shows up.
Yep, Barack Obama.
Yes, Oprah.
Of course.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton does too.
Yep.
Hermione's not happy about that. Oh, God. But the trio and Ginny, so I guess they're the quartet now.
Briefly, yeah.
Yeah. They're all spending time together.
And Hermione tells Harry at one point that she's found something in the library. Harry's like, what about RAB? And she's like, well, no. And she's been searching around for RAB and has only found a couple of wizards with those initials, but none of them seem relevant.
One of them has a middle name of Axe Banger. And I was like, fuck off. Fuck off.
Or like Axe Wound Banger. Am I right?
Ew.
Something about Snape. She was sort of right about the Half-Blood Prince. Eileen Prince was Snape's mother. She married someone, Snape. What was his name? Trevor Snape or something?
Yeah, it was something like that.
And Barry Snape.
And Barry Snape. Simon Snape. There you go. Yeah, and he was a muggle. That was why he called himself the Half-Blood Prince. And I thought that was weird. I agree, that's a bit... I didn't expect that. It's weird that Snape was ever, like... I guess for all the same reasons that Voldemort kind of turned against his muggle half is why Snape did as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because his dad apparently was a bit of a prick from everything we know.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of rebelled. But then it seems weird that you would, like, celebrate being half-blood by saying that, you know? It was just weird.
Yeah. Harry gets angry once again about Snape and Dumbledore's inexcusable trust in him.
Yeah, and he's like, he doesn't believe that Draco would have killed Dumbledore because he remembers kind of seeing him what we all saw, like the doubt in his eyes and the way he lowered his wand.
Yeah.
So he's like, he doesn't reckon that Snape... So he feels like a bit of sympathy for him because he's just been forced into such a sort of, you know...
Yeah, a little bit of sympathy kind of mingled in with all the old hatred that's still very much there as well.
Anyway, they go to the funeral and it's a barrel of laughs, you can imagine. They've got Cirque du Soleil performing.
Yeah.
Mariah's going to sing a song.
Elton John performs.
Yeah.
Because his AIDS charity is going to have a much easier time now.
It's like, goodbye, Dumbledore. seems to me you lived your life like the bodies under the patio. Violent and unexpected. Some with afros. Oh, God. And everyone's crying and clapping at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, he sees Luna and Neville at the back and he feels really grateful for them because they were the only DA members who showed up on that night. And he reckons it's because they were probably the only ones who were still checking their coins regularly because they missed being in the DA so much.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, that really kind of like touched me. I think I got quite teary at a few points. I think I got teary at the Fleur and Molly bit.
Oh, I got kind of eye-rolly at that bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, ugh.
I thought it was really nice.
Now?
Oh, God. But yeah, I think I got a bit teary at this as well because I really, I don't know, I just have so much like empathy for Neville and Luna.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, in the lake, the mer people are singing.
Yes.
It's like, the seaweed is always greener. Somebody else is
Hagrid walks down the aisle carrying Dumbledore's body.
Is that what he was doing? I missed what he was doing. And I was like, why is he walking up and down?
Yeah, he's got Dumbledore's body wrapped in a starry blanket.
That's weird.
He places it down on a white table at the front and then walks back and sits next to Grawp.
Yeah, and he tries to whip away the cloth from like underneath Dumbledore like you do like a table trick.
Yeah.
But he fucks it up and the body just goes and he's like, oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry about that. Let me just try again.
Picks him up, picks up the fallen candles. I was like, oh, Hagrid.
The grief really sort of hits Harry. He realizes he can't let anyone else stand between him and Voldemort. His dad and his mum, Sirius, and now Dumbledore, the last and greatest of his protectors, has died, and he's more alone than ever.
Yeah.
And then bright white flames erupt around the body and is replaced by a marble tomb.
Yes, shaped like a huge dildo.
Oh, of course. Everyone looks at each other like, oh, that's classy. You got to give it to him.
And it's a water feature. Oh, God. And Kingsley's like, say what you want about Dumbledore. Oh, God. Anyway, he takes Ginny aside and he's like, Ginny, we've got to break up. It's not you, it's me.
This is just not a great time. I just got to have a big relationship. What are the others?
I feel like we're in the same book, but on different pages, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what we really have in common.
Also, you look so much like my mum. I mean, it was sexy at first, but now it's just making me feel...
You just haven't quite got the eyes right. And you won't let me pop my mum's in.
Yeah, but he's like, look, I don't, like, if Voldemort knows that we're together, he's going to use you to get to me, and I don't want to risk it.
Yeah, she's like, what if I don't care? And he's like, well, I care.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Ginger prick.
Oh, God. So, yeah, she gives him a kiss and then...
A little tickle.
A kiss and a tickle and brands him with a massive G. She's like, just so you know, you belong to me.
you want one of those, don't you?
I would love that. Oh, God. Anyway, Scrimgeour pops out of nowhere and he's like, Harry. That's not Scrimgeour. He's like,
Harry.
Harry, can I take you a seat?
Harry's like, can you what?
Harry's like, for fuck's sake, I loved you so much in Love Actually.
I really enjoyed your squid face in Pirates of the Caribbean.
He's like, oh, thank you. And then a gust of wind blows up his kilt and he's like, hey.
Yeah, how's that squid face?
Harry's like, you look like you were sort of like halfway through a circumcision.
So, well, I take it you're not interested then.
Hey, but these are fine, steel cut Scottish oats, I promise you that, young laddie. I was like, I don't like porridge. I was like, I've got to go. He's like, no, I got a message for you. And he's like, what were you doing with Dumbledore that night? And he's like, oh, I can't say.
Harry's like, that's not really a message for me, is it? That's more of a question that you have. And he's like, well, fuck you, you're a smart prick.
Yes, well, if I write it down and then post it through your letterbox and then you can read, and then it is a message and a question at the same time. And he's like, yeah, okay.
Harry's like, fine, bends over.
Oh, God. And then he's like, okay, well, will you reconsider the offer I made to you at Christmas? And he's like, I don't do leather. And he's like, no, I meant the other one. And he's like, oh, yeah, I won't do that either. I won't be your little mascot.
Yeah, he tells him to fuck off, basically, doesn't he?
Yeah. Tells him to get knotted.
Yes, I truly am Dumbledore's man. And Dumbledore will only be gone from here when none here are loyal to him, with a little smile and a wink.
So he pulls up his kilt and spins around really fast and flies away like a sky dancer.
Yeah, the whole crowd has to go, oh, avert their eyes. As he flies over there with his kilt flaring out.
Oh, God. Anyway, the trio go hang out under a beech tree.
Yes, Hermione's like, oh, it's awful to think we might never come back here, isn't it? What if it does close? And Harry's like, I'm not coming back, even if it does reopen.
And Hermione's like, what do you mean? He's like, I've got to go and do things.
Got to go and do things, mate. Got things to do.
Yeah, got things to do. People to see.
Yep.
Going to use all my gold from Gringotts. Going to buy a Mercedes. Buy a really flash pair of sunglasses. I'm going to get a car phone installed because I think that's the way of the future. No, he's like, I've got to go track down the other Horcruxes. And... Nah. I think I'm going to go back to Godric's Hollow because I've got a feeling I need to go back there. Which really, that was such a mistaken feeling because there was nothing waiting for him in Godric's Hollow whatsoever.
Well, no, that's the heart for a lot of the next book. Harry says, keeps saying he wants to go to Godric's Hollow and Hermione keeps telling him that it's going to be a trap and he shouldn't.
It's a trap!
It's a trap!
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, fuck it, hell. I mean, I can see why he thinks it would be a good idea, but... Ugh.
Can also see why it could be... Why people think it would be a trap.
Yeah.
And it is.
It's like going back home. It turns out to be a trap. It's like getting 10 hours sleep when all you needed was a nap. It's like a fake Horcrux. It's lying in a cave. It's like spending too much when you're trying to save.
So Cormac, shut the fuck up.
Cormac's there like his guitar.
I want you to take that hand out of your pocket.
Yeah, and then Hermione's like, oh, they say something, and then Ron's like, oh, mate, you don't think that you can do this on your own, do you?
Yeah, we're coming with you. And Harry's like, no.
No, I'm the chosen one.
Yes, I really feel like I need to do this by myself, Ron. Yes.
Yeah, I'm Neo. At most, you're those brothers that pilot the ship. No one can remember your names.
Morpheus has just died.
Yeah. And I've just broken up with Trinity.
And Hermione's like, well, you said to us once before that there's time to turn back if we want to. Well, we've had time now, haven't we? And we're coming with you.
But. We have to go back to Mum and Dad's first because we've got the wedding this summer.
And Harry's like, oh, shit, yeah, a wedding.
Yeah.
Weird that something so normal could still happen. But then he's like, yeah, we shouldn't miss that.
And he's like, even though there's a ton of shit ahead, at least he's got one last day to look forward to.
Yes, one last golden day of peace left to enjoy with Ron and Hermione before everything turns to shit forever.
The end.
The end.
Yeah. Aw.
Damn.
This book's such a weird book because it, out of all the books, it feels like the most sort of like interstitial book, you know?
Ooh, interstitial.
Yeah. So it's so like, it's such like a, it's all, it almost acts as like a segue between book 5 and 7, I feel. Like it's a book that out of all of them doesn't operate too well on its own.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of a necessary thing as you get towards the end of a series. I say that. It depends on the nature. It depends on what type of series. You can make it deliberately episodic. But I think by this point, the plot is so large that it's...
I mean, yes.
I don't know how you would get... This one doesn't... Yeah, I know what you mean. In that all the other books very much have their own almost standalone self-contained arc.
Hmm.
Like, obviously, Philosopher's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, Sirius in the Prison of Azkaban, the Trousers Tournament, etc. Book 5 does as well with the Harry's dreams and everything and all of that, kind of. But I would say less so than the previous 4. And then this one, really, it's just the book and the Half-Blood Prince, which is actually quite a minor mystery in the context of the whole thing. So, yeah, I guess I see what you mean.
Obviously, because there's nothing, like... Important things happen, but there's no like big thing that happens.
Yeah, like except Dumbledore dying.
Yeah, like but it's that's quite a. It happens so quick. It's a big event, but it's not in terms of like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I just think by this point in the series, the larger plot has grown. It's in the previous books. It's like the main focus of the book has been the standalone book, self-contained plot arc, and the larger plot is kind of bubbling under the surface. Whereas it's almost like the larger plot has, by this point in the series, come to the fore, and so there isn't really, and so it's more. It's like it's switched places. Like the main large plot is really has to take up most of the book, and.
Yeah.
What's underneath it is the little self-contained bits.
I feel like what makes it feel this way, especially for me, is that the climax is somewhat understated. Even like the cave bit is not, because think about the sort of the climax of book 5, it building to that. Because in this book, things happen, but not a lot really. Like they visit a few of the memories and that's kind of it. And then he's just like wondering what Draco's up to. And that's kind of it, you know? Whereas in book 5, like kind of more sort of like events happened, it felt like. And then the whole thing in the Department of Mysteries was it kind of took you a lot of places before the big showdown and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like maybe if the thing in the cave maybe if the finding out about, maybe if the like finding out about the cave was seen on screen in a more like, so Dumbledore finding like deciding that that's where a Horcrux must be was something that we actually saw, and then the journey there and into the cave was a bit more grand and a bit longer, and then the fight that led up to Dumbledore's death was a bit more. So maybe if there was like a fight that happened before, when they got back to school, there was a fight that happened before the Dumbledore bit, so it was a bit more like da 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 da, and then the death.
Maybe, I don't know. I think that would feel a little bit like just inflating those things sort of artificially. I don't think they need to be.
I don't think they would be. I think you're only thinking that in retrospect. I think if that was the way it was written straight away, in like without sacrificing like the quality of storytelling, I think it would have, because it's fine as it is, but I think it would have felt like a more of a like complete book on its own to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, it's a, almost like a bit of a, yeah, it's just a weird...
I think I do know what you mean, but I think it's inevitable. If you're not deliberately trying to write an episodic series, if you're trying to write a series that has a huge seven book arc, book six is never going to be able to have a big self-contained plot within it. I feel like with a plot this size and of this scale over seven books, by the time you get to book six, you've really got to be mostly about that and mostly just putting all the everything in a row for book seven. I feel like that's kind of what book six in a series like this has to be, and so I think for that reason I'm sort of fine with it. But I do get what you're saying.
I don't know. Maybe she just got bored towards the end of this one. She's like, yeah, then they come out of the cave and then he dies.
And it was Snape, but it wasn't Bumbledore.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, yeah, that brings us to the end of book six.
I know. We're about to start on the last book of Harry Potter.
I can't fucking believe this has come around so quick.
I know.
Because I remember us talking about starting, and it felt like fucking the end of the series is going to be ages away, and now it's like right on our doorstep.
Yeah, it was so far away and so kind of inconceivable as to what the podcast would look like by that point. That it sort of felt like we'd never really get there.
Yeah.
But we're bloody here, aren't we?
Yeah, fucking hell. So how many episodes is book seven going to be?
Deathly Hallows is 37 chapters.
Okay.
So 12 episodes if we do one four-chapter episode. Or...
We're not going to do a four-chapter one, are we?
Oh, no, it'd be more like two-chapter episodes, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So it'll be 30. 14 maybe, I don't know, I can't be 13 or 14.
Wow, so that's how many episodes you've got left, guys, of the Harry Potter series of season one.
Yeah, then plus maybe the films.
Yeah. Depending how gifted feels. Fucking hell. God, that's not long at all.
No.
Oh well. Do you know what you could do to tide yourself over, though?
Yeah.
You could check out our fucking Patreon! Yeah, where we do our exclusive series, Poorly Read at the Movies!
Yeah.
Where we give all your favourite movies the poorly read treatment. So lots of dick, lots of insane brutality. And all your favourite poorly read attributes. Yeah, so here's a special saucy clip from... Greece.
And cut to Kinnicky and Rizzo fucking in the car.
Yeah, fucking the car. That's their song.
But now we're fucking in the car.
Fucking in the car. Who's that guy? He's got a scar. And he's got an ethnic girlfriend. Ooh, look, he's saying bad things to you. But yeah, they're fooling around. Then Kinnicky gets out his condom, which he's had since he was like five, and it's like broken. And Rizzo's like, ah, oh, fuck it, just stick it in.
Fucking stick it in and get on with it, mate.
Yeah.
Fucking around with that shit. Get your stockard in my Channing.
He's like, wow, you really are a pink lady. Wow, wasn't that good, Tom?
That sure was saucy.
Yeah, saucy.
Marinated.
Marinated.
Succulent.
That was gravelicious.
Ah.
As in gravelicious, not as in grave, as in like dead body. That'd be weird. Oh, God. So, yeah, you can enjoy all that and more by signing up to our Patreon. It's $3.99 a month, and you get two episodes from Poorly Read at the Movies on the first and third Friday.
Yeah. We also have some merchandise available at Redbubble, poorlyread.redbubble.com. We are favourite references. Well, I don't know if they're your favourites. They're our favourite references. From the show on designs designed by Monsieur Giffen.
Hey. But yeah, check those things out and buy them. All the links to our Patreon and merch is in our description, as well as our social media. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter at PoorlyReadPod, and email us your teens at poorlyread@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess without further ado, I've been Giffen.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid has been Hagrid.